Welcome back, aviation enthusiasts. This is a Tailwinds Sunshine podcast. Today is part one of a three-part series with my friend Vanessa Montaño. I sat down with her about 3 weeks ago and we talked about her life as a student pilot. Vanessa is a SkyWest flight attendant. She has been for about 5 years, but currently is on leave so she can attend pilot training down in Phoenix, Arizona. So we sat down and really dug deep with a few topics. First of all, we talk about how, as minorities, we have a hard time achieving our dreams, and how our family, who is supposed to be our support system and our safety net, can actually tend to sabotage us a little bit because they don't have the capacity to push us or give us a tough love to achieve our dreams, and how can that be, that can be a hindrance. Also, we talk about the SkyWest Pathway program for SkyWest employees that are not pilots that want to become pilots, and so she gives us a little bit of color about how that works. Also, we talk about how choosing the right flight instructor is vital to your success, and how having the wrong instructor can actually cost you money. And she's going to share her story with us today. Anyways, enough talking. Let's get on with the show. From the Baltimore studios in Colorado Springs, Colorado, this is the Tailwinds and Sunshine podcast.
You know, I don't know if that's your intent, and just kind of start the conversation from there, you know, because I've found out that sometimes when you communicate that, the person was not even aware they were doing that, and they'll back off a little bit.
Possible pilot deviation, I have a number for you. Advisor, do you copy?
Dude, this 777 has been really fun to fly. It's honestly just a bigger Embraer 175.
But the fact that they were sitting on that runway knowing there was a heavy coming their way, unacceptable.
I'm from the central part, so I'm from a town. We have more cows than people where I come from. Very country.
The aches I have, I can go on. Number one, when the jet bridge is pulled back and we're ready to push and you guys don't have your headsets on.
Plan has to be perfect because you can't turn left. You can't turn right. The only way out of that, if the pilot gets into a bad spot or if there's something that's like happened at the airport that shuts down a runway, the only way out is up.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for spending some time with me today. My special guest today is Vanessa Montaño. Vanessa, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
I am doing phenomenal. I am so happy to be talking to you today because you have a lot of valuable... Guys, if you guys, if this is the episode, if you're going to listen to any episode, this is one of the episodes you need to listen to, especially if you're an aspiring pilot. If you want to get and start flying planes for a living, this is the episode for you because we're going to be talking about the struggle. We're going to be talking about the dirty details of what flight training is when you're really struggling, right? So Vanessa is now in Arizona. And she's there by herself. You know, she is working hard, and she's going to tell us all her story. So, Vanessa, let me see. Like, give me a little bit of a background. What's up with you?
So, I was a flight attendant prior to wanting to do flight school. And I was a flight attendant. I was based in Boise for 2 years, based in Salt Lake City for 3 years. So I was a flight attendant for 5. And I knew that I always kind of wanted something more than that, right? We all know, and I speak for flight attendants, I will always be a flight attendant at heart. But also being a flight attendant and or being a pilot is usually sometimes it's never really easy, but things that are worth it are never really easy, right? But I wanted more out of life. I loved exactly what I did. I'm like, man, how cool is this? I get to wake up every morning in a different city and I get to have breakfast and go look and explore and all this, do all this other stuff. But I'm like, man, it would be so nice to be financially stable, or it would be so nice. I'm like, what can I do the exact same thing, but be better at the same time? And so, right. And I got the kind of the can of worms kind of got opened up when I was in Boise. I lived in a airplane hangar and I went flying with my friend, and it was kind of the craziest thing. He was like, hey, it's your turn. He's like, you can take off. And the moment that I pulled the yoke back, and I saw how the horizon and everything just went up, and I was like, oh man, I was like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. So it kind of always lived in the back of my head. I went back to Utah. It was right before COVID. And I actually had signed up and got started going to school, but it was right before COVID. COVID happened. And so that kind of put everything on pause, which that's kind of how that works, right? I went to ground school. Things didn't seem to work out. I wanted more of a structured program. And so I found a structured program and I came to Arizona.
Now, you talked about you started flight training, but then you found a structured program. Talk about a little bit about that.
So I actually found a couple structured programs. But that's the thing that's kind of crazy is I know that it is sometimes tough. I applied to actually quite a few schools. I went back to Salt Lake because I knew that that's where my support system was at. And I thought to myself, like, okay, cool. Like, if I can get my support system, because I know that, like, the loans are hefty and I know that you have to sacrifice, and I was going to put in for a leave of absence, in which I'm on a leave of absence currently right now. But it's one of those things where you have to understand the sacrifice. And so with the sacrifice of that, that's where I decided. I have a friend who came down to Arizona and she's like, hey, like, things are going really good for me. I bid for an overnight to come to Phoenix, and I talked to her and she's like, oh, I just got my PPL and, you know, it's so cool. Like, I have missions every day and do all this stuff. And I thought, okay, I have been here. COVID happened. I'm like, I know that I need to have a structured program. I'm somebody who needs a little bit of structure, which sometimes some people are really great. I'm not saying that I don't have the drive for it to me to not have structure, but it is nice that if I can just focus on the one thing, right? And so right. I thought about it, and I've always been afraid of, like, programs that are available for me or you or anybody else, because I thought, like, I'm afraid to leave my job. What if something happens, like, I'm afraid to leave my job? But then I'm like, they wouldn't just offer a leave of absence if they wouldn't just leave a leave right. of absence. They wouldn't offer a leave of absence if they didn't want us to do it. So I thought to myself, like, okay, I'm just going to do it. So then
right.
I applied for it, and that's where I found the structured program. And there's pros and cons.
Absolutely. But I think the biggest takeaway from your story here is that it's definitely taking that plunge and making that sacrifice to step into the unknown, right? Because
yes.
most of people and the emails I get from people are usually military, or they already have a life established like you did. They had a job, they had money coming in, they were living fine, they were with close to their family, and now they have to take that plunge, right?
Yes.
And that's the scariest part, because it's the unknown. Human beings are just naturally afraid of change, right? So to make yeah. that change takes a lot of courage. And I think that's a common theme across, you know, most of my guests have come on, is they have the courage to make a change, or mm-hmm. they've had a really big dream and they really focused and they pursued it. Now, V, as she is called by her friends, she actually is a coworker of mine. She is a SkyWest flight attendant, and she took a leave of absence through a program that SkyWest offers. What do they call it?
We call it the Pathway Program.
Pathway Program, that's right. I want to talk about our support system. And V and I are a minority. We are considered a minority, right? And I feel like a lot of people have this, especially right now in the current environment, all these, you know, equal opportunity hires and stuff like that, and they feel like we have it easy, like, oh, because you have you're a minority, you're going to be given preference, you're going to just going to, like, straight shot down to United and be hired because you're a minority, you're a woman, you're Latino, you're Native American, whatever. They think that it's going to be a straight shot. But V and I were having a discussion about this and saying how we are at a disadvantage because our ancestors or parents or grandparents, the mindset is you just got to work. And because we are considered the working class, minorities are typically considered the working class, and we prioritize working above anything else. And for me, my parents, they were supportive, but I felt like if they knew how to support me, if they knew the value or knew what you had to go through to get an education, they would be more supportive in a way where I could have achieved more with my life. Not saying that I'm complaining about it, but I felt like I could have been like in sports. I could have been in, you know, extracurricular activities that I would not have considered because of that. So now when we take these leaps of faith into a change of career, our families are typically like, what are you doing? You know, what are you leaving a job? Why are you leaving your job where you're getting paid? Why are you going to do this? So they don't understand necessarily the depth of our dreams, because they're like, well, it's all about making money. We're here to work. This is the American dream. And so that's our disadvantage, that we don't necessarily have a support system that is understanding of our dreams. So what's your story there?
Not having it. I don't want to say a proper support system, because I know that my mom tries and I know that my dad tries and I know that they
absolutely
trying to do the best that they know, but then it also, it scares right. them. And so because my dreams scare them, they're scared. And so because they're nervous or terrified and they never had the support that they theoretically maybe want to give me. And I don't want to say that they don't want to give me, but
right,
support,
right. No,
they
just, absolutely.
They don't know how to do it. And my dad was a blue collar worker his whole entire life. And my mom went back to school. She did go back to school, and because she understood the importance of education. But again, it's one of those things where she's not 100% sure how to support me, because my dreams have always been like, people think I'm crazy, right? Like,
yeah.
People think that like, oh my
yeah,
God,
yeah.
like why would you want to do that? And so my dad, I remember my dad telling me like, oh, Mija, why are you wanting to leave your job? Like, why would you want to do that? And, you know, my dad being a blue collar worker, my dad worked his entire butt off, right? His entire life. In which I understand that like blue collars built America, right? That's awesome. That's super great. Awesome. I love all of that. But again, you know, even when I'm struggling at school and I call and I tell my dad and I'm like, it's so funny because I've always thought that I have really tough skin, but I haven't cried as many times as I've ever cried in my entire life until I became a student pilot. So, but I'll call my dad and I'm like, I'm just so frustrated. Like, you know, I messed this one thing up, or I'm not doing great on my landings and this or that or whatever. And my dad's like, oh, Mija,
yeah.
you can always come home. You know, you just come home.
Yes.
You've gotten a lot further than anybody else. Just, you know, you can go back to your job. You know, you can go back to.
Yeah.
And so like, it's funny because again, it still scares them to know that like I'm not working, right? And so yeah,
right,
yeah. So it's
because I think is that when your support system also has to take that leap of faith with you to be able to support you in the way that you need, because you're going to go through some tough times. And like you've said yourself, you've gone through some tough times getting your private pilot or working towards your private pilot's license. But we expect so much of our parents, and sometimes they're not capable, you know, emotionally to be able to do that because they're also scared for you, right?
Right.
So because they don't know how to deal with that fear of like, I just know, you know, hey, I'm here to work. I'm going to do this too. I can get some job security and call it a day. Same thing with my parents. You know, they had my parents have like, I think like an elementary school education, and they were able to support me and get us here to the United States. And because of them, I'm here. So I'm very grateful for that. But once they knew I was self-sufficient, they were happy, you know. But when I started to go towards my dreams, they were there to support me. They were always very proud of me. But I know that they were always there to be like, hey, if it doesn't work out, just, you know, come back. They were not there to kind of push me a little harder, right?
Yeah.
But not because they're being malicious and they don't want to. It's just that they don't know how. So that is what most minorities have to go through. Whereas people that have backgrounds where your families are known for, you're probably the third, fifth generation of college degree earners, then you already know, they know the value of that support and they're willing to push you a little bit further.
Yes.
So we are, as minorities, at a little bit of a disadvantage there. And we have to work a little bit harder on our own to get there. So it can be hard. Not everyone, but I can tell you it's a majority of us. And I've talked to many, you know, people that come from minority backgrounds, and you know, we may not have the financial backing also, because our parents don't have the financial wealth to be able to support us. So we have to do it on our own. You know, when I was a kid, I was paying for all of my flight training out of pocket. You know, I had to get an extra job to pay for that. And eventually, you know, thankfully I joined the military and they were able to provide that. But then you have opportunities like V, you know, SkyWest is able to provide some financial backing for that. And there's programs out there for that for anyone that's willing to grab it. And so let's switch gears really quick and let's talk about that program and how SkyWest is helping you out to get your flight training.
So again, going back to like how I was afraid and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I talked to my friends. I'm like, okay, cool. So I put in, and there's a lot of steps. I don't want to make it seem like it's even easy because it doesn't matter who you are. Everybody has to take the right steps to the correct steps in order to go through the pathway program. So, you put in, you know, like a leave of absence, you apply to the school. Once you apply to the schools and you have, an acceptance from the school, you apply for the pathway program and say like, hey, I have an acceptance. This is what we want you to do. But SkyWest is really definitely like hooking us up. I mean, I am really excited to go back. And this is one of the reasons why you kind of want to make sure you find a right program to get you through all of that. Because the faster that you go back, the faster you get the money that SkyWest is going to be offering you. SkyWest is, I believe it is around 60% of, and you can quote me if I'm wrong, I believe it's about 60%, 50% or so that they will give you back. And they do give it back to you in increments. They do allow you to have a leave of absence. And the leave of absence is putting your flight attendant job, or I believe rampers can do it. Gate agents also can do it. Anybody who's, I think, really can do it if you're already not a pilot.
Yeah, dispatchers. Right? Yeah, uh-huh.
If you're already not a pilot.
So, yeah.
And that's the cool thing about it is I actually just renewed my leave of absence just in March because March 31st was my anniversary of moving down here. So you go and you just update your hours. The really cool thing is while you're a SkyWest cadet, you also are building seniority. And seniority in the aviation world is literally your bread and butter. So you want to make sure you're starting to build all of that type of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And so...
Yeah, so...
Go ahead.
So that's the one thing is, yes, seniority is very important. And V is actually still with her seniority number as, you know, her leave of absence. So she's not like she just dropped everything and she's going to start at the bottom of the pile, right? So she's going to have some seniority when she starts, flying for SkyWest. And so now what are you doing because I know you took a leave of absence, you were making money. What are you doing for money?
Well, and that's the part that's so scary is that I knew that I wanted more from a long time ago. So I saved and saved and saved and saved and saved. I am currently living on a savings, which is scary, especially when your parents are telling you, hey, like, I don't have extra money. I can't pay your rent. Like, I can't do all this other stuff. And it's scary for them. It's scary for me. But I am living on a savings. Also, with the student loan, with the pathway program, they also do have a stipend program that you could get paid X amount of dollars, then you just pay it back in the future. But I didn't choose to do that because I didn't actually qualify for it. So,
okay, good. Yeah. So as you can see, and there's a lot of stuff and unknowns going into changing a career, right?
Yes.
So you don't know what you're going to do for money. You may have to sacrifice live your current lifestyle. You might even have to sacrifice that to be able to because some of us don't have that safety net. We don't have parents. We don't have a family that can provide that financial support if things go south, right? So we really have to work really hard and find things to be able to survive if you really want to achieve that dream. So it's not easy, guys. That's the one thing is that it is worth it. But like V mentioned, it's like all things that are worth it are not necessarily going to be easy, right? So you're going to have to do that. There are programs out there that are going to help you out, but you're still going to have to work for it. No one's going to hand you the end result and say, here you go. We're going to pay you to be living. You're going to be covered. You're going to have your same standard of living. You're going to be able to travel. You're going to be able to buy the things that you want to buy and still be able to achieve your dream. There is sacrifices that need to be made.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's the thing that's so crazy is that my dad told me, he's like, well, how the heck do you think that you're going to go down there and what? Like, live for free? He's like, that's not how that's going to work. He goes, why do these people expect you to leave your job and leave everything? And he's like, and just go to school? He's like, I just don't understand. And so that's the biggest thing is, like, I've been told no 100 million times. No, 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 no. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Not only have I been told no with I didn't get into every school. I tried to go to schools in Utah, and again, like, I didn't qualify for their loans for that particular school. I have been told no 100,000 times, but this is the thing. I always thought I'm asking the wrong person, because if right. I dream it, I can achieve it. And the thing is, I know that I have the grit to do what I vision myself doing. And I know that I can, because again, I'm not afraid to work twice as hard as the person next to me. I know it's going to be harder for me. I already know it is. I know it's going to be harder, but I'm not afraid to fall down, to get up, to cry a little bit if I have to.
Right. You know, yeah, absolutely.
You know, in that type of a situation, but damn it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, so, exactly.
This right. is the hardest darn thing that I have ever done. I fail. I succeed. I do great. I suck. I, you yeah. know, there's things where I, whatever. But one of the biggest also things that I do want to say to anyone, if they ever were to get to where I'm at. And again, it's a blessing. I get to wake up and I get to have a cup of coffee. I get to fly airplanes. I get to do all this great stuff. But if you're not, please, 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 you have worked so hard just to walk through the door. If you are not getting along with somebody, or you feel like your education is not where it should be, like if you go to school and you start with a bunch of people and it's not a competition, but remember, everyone should be following either a 141 or a 61 guideline. And if you're not getting along with your instructor, please, 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 not just for me, but do it for you and all your hard work and all your tears and all your grit and all your times that you've been told no. Make sure that you limit yourself on how many lessons that you're going to have with someone before you switch to an instructor. It's okay to switch instructors. It's your money, right. It's your time, it's your career, it's everything else in between. Mm-hmm. And so that's like one biggest thing that I want to make sure that people know from here on out too.
And that happened to me when I was going through, when I went through training, I was in a 141 program and I got assigned an instructor during my training, and this instructor was just phoning it in. This instructor was just, I wouldn't say, it was borderline lazy, where they were not scheduling flights. This instructor was not prioritizing their time to get my thing going. And I was on a time clock, and I was on a clock. You know, I needed to get this done by a certain time frame because the school said, hey, you need to finish this rating in 3 months. And if not, you're going to have to go back. You basically, even though I'm having failed a check ride, the school could say, well, sorry, you didn't finish in time. Guess what? Now you have an F. Now you're going to have to go back and retake that class so you can pass the check ride. So it was nuts. So I really yes. had to stand up for myself and be like, hey, man, real talk, you need to schedule me more. Like, I can't just be flying twice a week and just be doing this. Like, we need to have more time together. We need to go fly. So you need to stand up for yourself and say, hey, let's do more. Or in V's case, like she mentioned, if you're not getting along with somebody, you need to speak up. Now, I'm not saying at the first inconvenience immediately, because there's immediately switch, because you're going to come across people that you're just not going to vibe with the same, but you kind of have to kind of suck it up and just do it. But if there is a conflict, a big conflict between you two, and you're just feeling either intimidated, communicate with this instructor first before you try to escalate the issue and try to switch. But definitely speak for yourself, because you are paying a lot of money to get this training done and be efficient yes. about it. Now, if you have this person, you know, I've had students that just don't speak up because it's a cultural thing. Maybe they, you know, they say, oh, well, gosh, I don't know, I don't want to question it. Right. So I don't want to question people, because, you know, I had some Korean students, I had a lot of Korean students that they were just not speak up. And other students actually requested a transfer to other Korean instructors because it was a cultural divide. And I said, and one of them, bless his heart, he wrote me a letter. I literally felt like he was breaking up with me. Like, he wrote this really sweet letter. He's like, I'm really sorry. I still have it pinned somewhere in a corkboard at home, because it has his name and everything. It's literally yeah. felt like he was breaking up with me. He was so respectful, but he says, you know, I feel like it's just a cultural thing between us. I feel like I learned a little bit more from my Korean instructors. Like, hey, You got to do what you got to do, man. You're the one that's paying for all this. You're away from home. You're thousands of miles away from your family.
Yeah.
You do what you need to do. And, but there was like a cultural divide, also a language, not to mention the language barrier.
Yeah.
But it was like, I felt like most of them didn't speak up and they struggled because it was just like,
it was
disrespectful for them to, yeah. So there you go.
That's
go
totally
for
me.
It. What do you got?
Okay, so I started, I'm like, man, I'm here, I'm in uniform, oh my god, I'm in a pilot uniform, like, I'm not in my cute flight attendant uniform, like, but I'm in a pilot uniform, oh my gosh, right? So
yeah.
I was so dang excited, and, you know, first meeting with my instructor, I was like, oh, okay, you know, things are cool, whatever. I didn't think we had a problem. Then, I still didn't think I had a problem, right? And because, again, all going back to previously everything that I have all told you, right? Like, I don't know what to expect. I also don't know what you don't know. And so I'm thinking to myself, like, well, if I'm giving this school $100,000, of course, in my mind, right, I'm like, and if my company's backing them up, I'm like, oh, it's one of those things where I'm like, oh, yeah, like, of course I'm going to trust these people. Of course I'm going to trust this instructor. Of course I'm going to do all this stuff. So I think that, like, my instructor really what it comes down to is, I don't know if my instructor truly just wanted to be there. I think he just wanted his hours and just wanted whatever to kind of do whatever. But then, but I didn't say anything because I thought to myself, like, and this is also one thing, please remember, just because you're in the pathway program, you still have a voice. Because I thought to myself, oh, well, if my company's backing it, then, and I'm not supposed to ruffle the feathers, because again, like, I was taught, oh, mija, go to work, and you just come home and you do what you're supposed to do.
Right.
So I thought to myself, like, okay, I'm showing up and I'm prepared. I'm doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know what I don't know. Well, come to find out, I flew with this individual for 3 months, and which is embarrassing to even admit. But I just hope that there's not someone else out there that's like me, right? And I thought everything was fine, but I didn't know how to trim the plane. I didn't know how to do proper stalls. I was putting the plane in secondary stalls. I was doing all these crazy, dangerous things. And then finally, I got, like, sick of it, because I was talking to one of my friends again that we started at the same time. We're both in a 141 program. And I knew that there were times where my instructor didn't like me. And look, everyone's not put here to be friends. I get that. I completely understand that. And
yeah,
so I'm like, okay, because he would tell me, like, we would have a mission at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning. He would tell me, you're so happy. Why are you so happy? I don't understand. Why are you so excited? Why? Like, I don't understand what I'm like, dude, I get to have a cup of coffee. I get to be here. I get to fly planes. Like, what are you doing? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, how are you not this excited? Like, I'm so excited, right?
Yeah.
So I knew that, like, I'm going to say this is the nicest, like, a way. I knew that I got on his nerves for just being happy, right? For just being excited. Yeah. And I would like to think that I know for a fact that I'm always a person that always thinks the cup is halfway full. I'm always positive about everything, because if you're not, why not? Why? Mm-hmm. Why not? Because why do you want to look at anything in a negative way? And I think that's also
right. It's just wasted. It's wasted energy. If
absolutely.
You're just being negative,
absolutely.
It's wasted energy. You might have, and I get it. Sometimes it's really hard to be on a positive side. Like you mentioned, you know, sometimes you'll have days you want to cry, but you got to switch that energy and switch it to a positive outlook, right? So,
yes.
But yeah, I mean, man, that sucks. This instructor, I mean, it's like, I feel like, especially people that are trying to get, and I get it, for CFIs that are working to get their hours.
Yeah.
I understand that you're trying to work and it's just a job for you.
Yeah.
But does that in itself of just trying to get your hours, you're doing a disservice to your students, because you are not an aviation professional. You're just a worker. You're just a CFI.
Yeah.
So you need to invest time into your students to make sure that they get the proper training so they can themselves make it to the seat that you're in right now, in the right seat.
Yeah.
And but yeah, it's speak up and make sure that you swap. So what's the story? So what ended up happening with this instructor? Like what was the straw that broke the camel's back? Like, you're like, I need a change.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I went to stage and I passed my oral, first go around. Then, the examiner, which I kind of feel like they may have had like a little bit of like an idea, but again, I was so naive because I was just trusting the system. Right. So, they started asking me, well, Vanessa, like, how many landings do you have? Like, you're going to be soloing on your next flight. Like, you know, what's, you know, how many landings do you have? And I'm like, and I, at the time I had maybe like 20 hours. So they're like, how many landings? And I was like, I don't know. I don't land the plane all that much. And they're like, what does that mean? And I'm like, I don't land the plane that much. Like, how many landings do you think you have? And I was like, oh, being nice. I'm like, cause I just counted my hours. I'm like, I have 19 hours. I'm like, so I'm like, I would say maybe like what, 20 landings. And they go, what? So then they left, they came back. They came to find out that, I should have had around that time. And also I never had done any touch and goes. I had never done, and I'm supposed to solo next. Like, I'm like, dude, are you trying to kill me? Like, I've right. never done a traffic pattern prior to that. But, again, no one is supposed to be, not everyone's meant to be friends. So the biggest thing for me is, so the school, we had a conversation, we try to work things out, because the school's like, hey, not everyone's meant to be friends, but can you guys be better together? And I'm like, okay, cool. So I tried and I tried and I tried. I end up allowing him to let me do my solo. We did get past that. I did have, and this is where the retraining, and this is where it's costing money, because you're paying money to get retrained, because again, I didn't know how to do stalls. I didn't know how to properly do stalls. Let's put it that way. Cause I was stalling it, but I wasn't properly stalling it. And I didn't know how to trim the plane.
Right.
Man, my hands and my wrists used to hurt so bad at the end of like a flight, because I was,
you were white knuckling that.
Oh my gosh. I remember I used to have to tell him your controls, because my arms would just hurt so bad from fighting the plane. And oh my gosh, it was terrible. But, and then my first solo after that, we were learning cross country, like navlogs, right? So the breaking point for me, just because, I mean, I know that it was kind of like steps. And I knew that there was times, like I said, I'm sure I got on his nerves just for being happy. But I caught him pretending to call for fuel, and he didn't. And then he was just rude to me in front of another students and other instructors. And they reached out to me and they said, hey, does he talk like that to you all the time? And I'm like, oh, anytime he delivers information. I was so used to it at that point, which is embarrassing to admit. I was so used to it at that point, because they're like, wait a minute, does he always talk to you like that? And I was like, how? And they're like, wait a minute, does he always relay messages like that to you? And I was like, yes. So I'm like, every time that we talk, it's usually that's how he just converses, right? Like, I almost at this point thought he was just Oscar the Grouch. Like, you know, like that's how he just converses, right? But the breaking point for me is when he was running late. He was always running late too. When he was running late and he called for fuel, and I caught him in a lie on how, because he wanted to cancel the mission. Cause he didn't want to schedule me. We had to get on the schedule and do all this other stuff, but he called, and it was just so funny, cause the fuel truck just kept driving past us. And I've already done all this stuff and we're waiting. I already did all my pre-flight. Let me be more specific. Did my pre-flight. And then finally we went back, we canceled the mission, and it just didn't sit right in my gut, regardless of all the rest of the stuff. So I called fuel myself and I said, I'm just going to say a random number. I'm like, did you guys have a call for, you know, I don't know, November 123. This is call sign, you know, V, you know, right? Like, do you have a call? Like, do you have a fuel call at, let's say, 8:30? And they said, nope, we have never had a fuel call for, you know, November 123 for instructor, you know, instructor Marvelous.
Oscar the Grouch. Yeah.
So I was like,
instructor Oscar.
Yeah. Instructor Oscar. Yeah. Oscar the Grouch, right? Oscar the G. But he's like, so I was like, you know what? And I sat in my truck and I got so frustrated, because I was already at a point where I was extremely frustrated with this individual. And I thought, man, I have had to just pay for 5 or 6 more missions, which everybody all knows the Hobbs time is never cheap, right? It's never, it costs every single time that I even want to show up to school and I think I'm getting in the back of a plane, it's going to cost anywhere between $400 plus, right? So it's, and I had to go and pay for 5 or 6 missions just to learn the plane so I can solo one time around the airport, right? So that's where I go back and I say, hey, if you feel like your friend and you guys are teeter-tottering on the same missions, or let's say lessons or syllabus or this or that or whatever, But if you feel like there's a gap, there's probably a gap and you need to say something. And the school, even if the school does have a direct line to whatever higher being, you need to say something. Because again, at the end of the day, it's your career, it's your money, it's whatever. Because I've been in my program now for a year, and I should at least have obtained at least my instrument at this point, right? But I'm at check ride for my PPL. And because that put me behind, I've had to get retrained quite a bit. And the 141 program, just how you had mentioned earlier, that like, hey, if you don't do this in X amount of time, then the school can go back and say, like, hey, like you're not really kind of where you're at. Like, we need you to do this where you're at, or you have to redo it and or whatever, right? So you have to make sure that, one, you're doing the right program, even if the school is going to advertise, hey, we're going to get you done in 14 months. Just make sure that you're advocating for yourself. It doesn't matter who you are, whatever the situation is, please, please, please don't just do it for me. Do it for yourself. I wish that I would have advocated for myself a lot sooner. And finally, so I walked into the director and I said, hey, I do not want to fly with Oscar the Grouch anymore. I'm like, I don't want to fly with him. And so she's like, Vanessa, come inside, close the door. So then I told her, I was like, hey, I'm like, I have documented every single time of this whole entire situation. I'm like, I have documented all the times that he's late, all the times that I've been charged for briefings and I'm not getting briefed. I'm like, all these things. I'm like, he super ghost called on fuel today just to cancel the mission. I'm like, I don't want to fly with him anymore. And so they did an investigation and all that good stuff, and we end up switching. But yeah.
The story goes beyond just not being friends with someone and not getting along with someone, because I've flown with captains that are the most bit-avoided captains of the company, but I still managed to get along with them. You know, like, yeah. I understand that they have certain personality traits that we're just not going to get along, or we're not going to agree on certain things, but they are still good pilots. Like, the ones that I've flown with, I've never felt like it was dangerous. They still deliver they're still a good pilot. And in V's situation, whoever this instructor is, shame on you. Shame on you for being setting a negative image of CFIs. It is unprofessional to show up late. It is unprofessional. It's just horrible to do just ghost call, like to cancel a mission and to charge for briefs that you didn't even do. In fact, that's what happened with that instructor that I said. He was charging me for stuff. I'm like, you charged me for half an hour of a brief and you literally just you signed my logbook and we took off. So why are you charging me this much money? And I had to just kind of confront him about it. And I talked to the chief about it as well. But you have to stand up for yourself.
Yes.
But you're doing a huge disservice to the community if you are just showing up just to make money. And if you're that inconvenience that you're showing up late, that is just, I know it's not even V's situation. It is just is a poor instructor.
Manny, for me, Thailand. Do you want to know the kicker?
What?
He lived next door.
Oh no! So you had to see this guy all the time.
Well, actually, the great thing is like, you know, sometimes I do. This is gonna sound so bad because sometimes I do like think to myself, like, man, what if I freaking see Oscar the Grouch? Like, what am I gonna do? Like, what's gonna happen? Right?
Yeah.
But yes, no. And that's the biggest thing is that, like, oh my gosh, like, and I thought to myself, oh, and this is one thing, like, I was warned about flight schools all before. So like all before all of the situation, people in Boise, the guys at airplane here that I used to live in and all this stuff, people are like, you got to watch schools. And this is like not saying one thing or another. People are like, you just got to watch schools. Like, you have CFIs that just want to get their hours. You got to do, you know, you have CFIs that don't really kind of care. They just want to get to the airlines. They don't care about anybody else. They're just doing all this stuff. And so in my mind, like, again, like, I should have advocated for myself way sooner because, oh my gosh, it has cost me a lot of money. Not only has it cost me a lot of money, but to get retrained and to talk to the school, and we're still trying to work out the financial situation about being overcharged and, you know, this type of stuff. But things you want to make sure that you're looking for in the future, and I don't know if whatever, but make sure if they're writing anything in your academic thing, ask them, because I didn't know that. I didn't know that instructors had the opportunity to write whatever they wanted to write inside of a profile, right? Make sure you're asking. I didn't know until way after. And I'm like looking at all the notes and I'm like, whoa. Like, what's going on right there, right? But it's definitely been very, very, very challenging. It's definitely been one of those things where in life, like I said, I am not afraid to work as hard as I need to work, but it's been a big struggle and it's made it even that much harder for myself. Because the people that I started with, they're finishing up their instrument right now. And so it's kind of, and it's also one of those things where I'm like, dang, I get discouraged. And sometimes I'm like, man, but then I also remember, like, don't forget, Vanessa, when you're in Salt Lake and there are schools telling you no, there are schools telling you no. There's been people that tell you no. There's people that say, oh, like, you know, you really want to go and do that. You really want to do this or whatever. I'm here. I've already done the hardest thing, right? The hardest part is now just getting past this bump or getting past this little part, because in a 141, you're expected to continue to progress.
Right.
But while I've had all these wild holes in my training, it's been extremely difficult because we'll get to, like, I just, like, I'm on my last stage, right? I'm on stage three. I got to pass my oral and then I got to do my flight and then I'm up for check ride. But I just learned how to slip like just a couple weeks ago.
Sup, nerds? Before I let you go, I have a task for you. I have a challenge. If you can go to the platform where you're listening to this podcast in and go ahead and leave a review, just tap that star, whether it's a 5-star, I like that very much, or a 4, or a 3, or 2, or a 1. It doesn't matter as long as you leave a review and some criticism so I can improve this podcast, because I want the Tailwinds and Sunshine podcast to be your podcast. So go ahead and leave that review now. I also want to give a huge shout out to my friends and coworkers for sharing the podcast with their friends and family. That means the world to me. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Also, if you want to be part of the show, go ahead and hit me up. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. We'll make that show happen. We'll make you a friend of the show. Until next time, wishing you tailwinds and sunshine. See ya. The statements made on the show are my own opinion and do not necessarily reflect those of my employer.